Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 10, and then we'll read down through, there it is, we'll read down through just a few verses. Very interesting, if you'll think about this. Verse number 10 is well known. This is what we'll start with. My son, of sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Now, but that's not the end of the instruction on the enticer. What's the next three words? Isn't it interesting? Remember, the only weapon that they have is what? So the Bible says, listen, I'm not just going to tell you to beware of the enticer. I'm going to tell you what they will say to you. You know what I like? And I'm giving my introduction now. But we needed to stand, didn't we? Amen. But if you'll learn these catchphrases, what I like is when a young person, I'm talking about junior high age, is listening tonight, and they just file these things away. And guess what? All of a sudden, you're not gullible anymore. You're not simple anymore. You're not an easy target anymore. Somebody can say something, gotcha. I know who you are. I know what you're trying to do. Are you listening? Okay. I mean, there shouldn't be people that are in their 20s, been in church their whole life, you know, or even in their teens, but in their 20s and 30s, still falling for some of these stupid things. Come on, we got a King James Holy Bible. Amen. So let's read it together. Now you're thinking, aren't you? Here we go. Watch this. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Heavenly Father, please, Lord, help us to just go through the scriptures. We're going to go back and revisit some of these classic examples of an enticer. And we're going to listen now carefully to the words of the enticer. And we're going to identify the same basic 10 enticer phrases that have been used throughout the history of mankind and sadly to this day seem to work on a lot of young, simple, gullible young people simply because they haven't taken the time to study or listen to a preacher like they're going to hear tonight and learn and become wise. I pray, Lord, that you would help us all to seek wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. May we get it tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if I've got 10 catchphrases, I'm going to do a lot of the reading of the scripture tonight, but let's review quickly. Remember, the weapon of the enticer is words. Colossians 2:4, and this I say, lest any man beguile you with enticing words. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. There are certain classic statements that today's enticers use in an attempt to encourage godly young people to do wrong. All it is a rephrasing of the same exact statements that we find in the Bible. And so there is no new thing under the sun. We find they're not new. And wise is the young person who can recognize what I'm going to call enticer talk tonight. So listen up. Behold, you will find a Bible parallel to each modern day catchphrase used by enticers today. Let's jump right into it. Number one, how about this one? Something like this. Come on, join the crowd. Come on, join the crowd. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Come with us. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. In other words, hey, here's the gang. Here's the group. We're cool. If you want to be part of the cool group, then you need to come in and join up with us. And now, folks, watch this. A classic enticement tactic is to put pressure on you so that you don't want to feel like you're being left out. You don't want to feel like you're not part of the group, part of the crowd. I mean, if you're going to be one of us, then this is what we do, okay? And in order to be accepted, a lot of Christian young people fall for that. Christian young people should be trained to listen for this tactic so that you can identify, watch this, group pressure situations. Lonnie Mattingly is the one that said this, peer pressure is really just fear pressure. Now, let me say it again. Peer pressure is really just fear pressure. Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to instill within you the fear of being left out of the group, of being left out of the crowd, of not having any friends. Now, you young people, listen to me. One of the things you better learn early to do in life is to be comfortable being by yourself. Because guess what? If you're going to do right, sometimes you're going to have to be by yourself. You're going to be comfortable in your own skin. You're going to not have to always need to be a part of the crowd. You have to learn, watch this, sometimes to take a step away from the crowd, be looked down upon the crowd, be made of fun by the crowd, and you know what? Not be affected by it. So what? Big deal. You know what I always say? Get out a piece of paper, write your phone number on it, hand it around to the crowd and say, call me in 10 years. We'll compare our lives. Y'all go on ahead and do whatever you're going to do. I'm not your mom. Go do what you want to do. But if you want to mess yourself up, that's up to you. But I'm not that gullible. Excuse me. I'm just not that gullible. So number one, come on, join the crowd. We're going to take one out of the story of Samson and Delilah, Judges 16:15. When she was enticing Samson, she said this. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and not told me wherein thy great strength lies. What's the second catchphrase? Well, if you loved me. You know how many young ladies have lost their virtue because some guy said, if you really loved me. You know how many young men have been foolish enough to throw away their purity because some girl said, well, if you really loved me. Now listen to me. Watch this. Stay with me. You know, it's crazy. These old catchphrases, this is Delilah. Folks, this has been thousands of years ago, and it's still bringing down strong young men and virtuous young ladies today. If someone is encouraging you to do wrong, listen, in order to prove that your love for him or her is genuine, then that person is an enticer. An enticer. Say, preacher, what kind of answer do I give to that? You look at them and say, I do love you. I do love you, but I love God more. Matter of fact, that's the first and great commandment, to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my mind, and my neighbors myself. So if you're asking me, am I going to love God or love you, follow God or follow you? Sorry, gave my heart to God a long time ago. Okay, sorry. All right, don't let that silly stuff work on you. Number three, how about this one? Come on, I dare you. This seems to work on guys really well, all right? By the way, where did you get this one? Well, of all places, in the temptation that went on between Satan and Jesus. In Luke 4:9, and the Bible says, and he, Satan, brought him, Jesus, so he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of a temple and saith unto them, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from us. In other words, prove it. I dare you. You say you're the Son of God. If you want to say it, then let's prove it. All right, I brought you up here. Jump. Come on, I dare you. Now listen, you know what? Why that works? Listen, young men, because we better hear this. And it works on young ladies too. But you know why that works? Pride. Pride. We'll do something dumb because of our pride. We'll do something stupid because of our pride. Enticers like to appeal to our pride. No young person wants to be thought of as a coward. No young man wants to be thought of as a coward. Be careful. Watch this. I'm going to give you encouragement. It takes more courage to walk away from wrong than it does to commit the wrong. Amen. It takes more courage to sit there and say, laugh all you want to. I'm sorry. That's against the scriptures. That is wrong to do. God bless you. I'm out of here. And so come on, I dare you. Don't let anyone dare you into destruction. Okay? Self-destruction. Here's another phrase. Number four. Now, this is, again, something that I think I pointed out briefly when we were studying it. But how about this one? You know, the Bible says, say, wait a minute, preacher. I thought we were talking about an enticer. Well, we are. Luke 4:9, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt thou dash thy foot against a stone. And then it's amazing. Could this be right that the devil's quoting scripture? Yes, listen to me, young people. Enticers often use the word of God out of context, of course, not rightly dividing it, but they want to use the Bible to try to give a young person a quote-unquote scriptural reason to do wrong. Not everyone who appears to be spiritual is. Okay, and so be careful. They know that you don't want to do wrong because of your love for the Bible, so they take the very words of God and try to turn them and use them to try to show you that it's okay to give in to a temptation. Now, that's crazy, but it happens. I remember a young lady in particular that ended up messing her life up. We were trying to help her afterwards, and later on she said, I said, well, you know better than this. And she said, well, the young man, by the way, this is what's crazy to me. This young man was unchurched. This young man had showed no interest in the things of God. And yet the minute she started bringing up biblical reasons for things, he started professing to be a Bible scholar himself. If you hear somebody say something like this, well, you know, I don't go to church a lot, but I've read the Bible. In fact, I've read it through several times. I know the Bible pretty well. And I know what your preacher's saying it says, but I've never found that in the Bible. Matter of fact, what about this? And they start throwing out, again, verses out of context. Now, you say, preacher, that should never work. Let me tell you why it worked. And I know we're focusing on the enticer, but let's go back to ingredient number one. A lot of times it works because down deep we want to do it. We never have dealt with that wrong desire. We've let it linger in our hearts. So sometimes it doesn't take much of a push. We're almost willingly, the Bible used the phrase willingly ignorant, because we want to hear what we want to hear. We want somebody to tell us it's okay. We want somebody to tell us mom and dad's wrong. We want somebody to tell us that the pastor's wrong and that he's misinterpreting the scriptures. So be very careful, because enticers sometimes will use the Bible. How about this one, number five? This is in the story of Ammon and Jonadab, 2 Samuel 13. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, and he said unto him, now listen, here's the phrase, you deserve it. Here's the modern day phrase, you deserve it. Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? You're the king's son. You deserve it. Come on, you're the king's son. I mean, come on, if anybody deserves it. Now watch this, this is what they'll do to young people. Come on. I mean, you're a good Christian all the time. I mean, you do everything right. I mean, come on. You don't deserve just one time to have a little fun? They almost use your spirituality as an excuse to leverage you into, why? Hey, listen, you're the king's son. You got special privilege. I mean, come on. You go to youth soul winning. You're in the teen choir. You're in the adult choir. You help out in Sunday school. I mean, you serve God all the time. You do all this stuff. This is one little thing for you to have a little fun. Come on, you deserve it. Now, folks, listen to me. I don't care how much good you've done in your life. It doesn't give you an excuse to be sinful and to break the commandments of God. And yet, it's amazing how that tends to work on people. Come on, you're 16 now. You deserve it. Come on, you're 16. Come on, you do everything else right, so don't you deserve it? Come on, watch this. Not the king's son. How about this? Come on, you're the pastor's kid. You can get away with it. You're a deacon's kid. You can get away with it. Watch it. We should all be reminded that what we deserve is an eternity in hell. And God spared us that, and that we should live each day in gratitude for his love and forgiveness. But this tactic often works. Watch this. I'm going to tell you this. This tactic often works after a great spiritual victory. Yeah, and you may or may not remember this, but the Sunday we had 665 in church, y'all remember that, right? You remember that Sunday? If you'll go back and look, the Wednesday after that Sunday, I came to the pulpit and I preached how to handle a great victory. How to handle a great victory. You know, if you're not careful, you work, you pray, you pay extra cost, you fast, you do so much to see something good happen, and then God rewards it. And that's when the devil will come to you afterwards and say, man, you've done so much. You've gone so over. You know, you kind of deserve a little. And you'd be shocked how many times after a great victory, somebody within a few weeks does something incredibly sinful and incredibly stupid. Now, folks, listen to me. No, that don't let that tactic work on you, okay? Be very careful. All right, number six. This kind of goes back to number four, but number six, Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, yea, hath God said. Is that what the Bible really means? Is that what the Bible really means? Now, folks, listen to me. One of the things I hate about the internet, and I hate about some of these so-called spiritual chat rooms, is people that don't have a life. They're not on a bus route. They're not out soul winning. Matter of fact, it's just a hangout for basically spiritual losers and backsliders. And what they do is they hang out on these chat rooms and they basically take every verse that's ever been given against something and reinterpret it and put it under the microscope and tear it apart and rebuild it until what it obviously says, they say, it does not mean. For instance, you can... I got this email to me by a preacher friend that says, he said, can you believe these guys are out there? Somebody had written an article and or on a blog or something and was listing, according to the blog title, 744 places in the Bible that God talks speaks positive about drinking alcohol. Not two, not five, not seven. 744 places that the Bible says it's okay to drink alcohol. And I think to myself, where did we get these guys? But you know what? Sad. Some Christian will come across that. By the way, somebody that down deep, come on. Well, I want to read that article. Why do you want to read that article? Because you've got something you've never quite dealt with. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Don't really need another verse. I locked that down. You go, well, it's social drink versus drunkenness, blah, blah, blah. Oh, come on. Come on. Yeah, I mean, if you just had all the verses in the Bible laid out in front of you, it would be so plain. But no, what they've got to do is say, well, you've got to go back and understand the culture. And the problem is you're just so ignorant because you haven't gone to my Bible college where all the professors drink. And explain to us what that really meant in Bible times. They were talking, you know what? You can take almost any verse in the Bible, and they do it on a regular basis. That flat out, black and white, is telling you not to do something, and by the time they get done explaining it, it's okaying it. And I'm not exaggerating, okay? And so, abstain from the very appearance of evil. And I've watched people literally take that verse. I mean, how can it be any plainer? Abstain from the appearance of evil, okay? And what they're saying is that means is not to abstain from doing something that might appear evil, but if evil appears, make sure that you abstain from it. Now why would they try to change that verse? Watch this, because they like hanging around evil. They want to do stuff that's going to appear to be evil. But, you know, after a while, no matter what verse you throw at them, they say, well, what does that really mean, though? Because I think it means, and pretty soon you just look at them and go, okay, all right, you know. And folks, just be careful. Be careful who you get in conversation. If you get in a conversation with someone who's always trying to take black and white, plain as day verses and try to reinterpret them to accept their sin, you're talking to an enticer. All right, number seven, how about this? You have no idea what you're missing. You have no idea what you're missing. Genesis 3:5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Enticers revel in challenging the motives of those in authority. Now listen to me. You know what the devil was basically saying here? God is ripping you off. God is keeping you from something that you deserve. God is keeping you from, listen, you don't know what you're missing. Okay, God knows that if you eat of this fruit, a good thing's going to happen. Your eyes will be open. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You don't know what you're missing. Now watch this. Enticers revel in challenging the motives of those in authority. Because they're rebels, they love to encourage rebellion. They'll try to make our Christian young people feel like their parents and their pastors are just trying to keep them from having fun, from really enjoying life. You have no idea what you're missing. You don't have an idea what you're parents' stupid rules are keeping you from, and how much fun it, you know, that's an enticer. Genesis 3:4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. How about this one? Number 8, your authority is lying to you. First, they'll kind of nibble away at the edges and say, well, I think that, you know, they're causing you to miss all this. Then they're finally just, they're lying to you. The serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. Satan was that bold. Watch it, folks. He called God a liar. He called him a liar. He told him, he's lying to you. By the way, enticers are also bold. They'll look a young person in the eye and tell them that their parents, their pastor, their church is deceiving them. Okay, they'll even flat out tell them that the Bible's not true. Christian teens, listen, you learn to mark them for who they are. Enticers, being used as a tool of Satan. Your authority is lying to you. Number 9, how about this one? This works on a lot of people. You have to be true to yourself. You have to listen to your heart. You have to be true to yourself. You have to listen to your heart. Where do you get that? Well, let's go back to Amnon and Jonadab. It came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her, and Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. Wait a minute. That's all the world needs. It's an excuse to do wrong. Hey, you know what? It's love. You got to listen to your heart. Okay? A major theme found in the movies and music of today is this. Maybe no one else will understand, but if you ever find true happiness, you must learn to follow your heart. I mean, if you watch on a regular basis, young people, if you're allowed in your home to watch Hollywood movies and listen to the wrong kind of music, I promise you pretty soon, whether you know it or not, you become convinced of this truth. I got to be true to myself. I got to follow my heart. I mean, there's songs, folks, that literally the title of the song is just what I said. I mean, the world pumps it out all the time. Well, that's how you feel. You got to be true to who you are. No, wait a minute. What? You got to be true to who you are. You're a sinner. I thought we were supposed to be true to what he is, to who he is. Now, folks, you say, well, preacher, I don't know. I just think, you know what? You got to follow. You know why some of this is bothering some of you right now? Because I'm exposing you right now. Because I got your number. Because you know what? Some of these young people that you've been able to influence, all of a sudden, you're not going to have much power on them anymore. Now, watch this. All right? That's what the world says. The Bible says just the opposite. Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Now, wait a minute. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Wait a minute. I'm probably misreading that. Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Now, wait a minute. That can't be true because the whole world's telling you need to follow your heart. The Bible says you're a fool if you follow your heart. He says you're a fool if you follow. Preacher, you're running the last 20 chick flicks that I watch. You're just running them. You're running them. Haven't you ever watched The Little Mermaid? I mean, she left the sea and she followed her heart. And the King Mermaid later on went, oh, shucks, you know what? She was right all along. Yeah, I'm a little worried these guys seem to know what I'm talking about up here. Why are you watching that little seashell girl? What are you guys watching on TV up here, sir? Now they're all looking like they don't even know what I'm talking about. Folks, I dare you to look at almost the theme, the underlying theme of almost every Disney animated movie. And some of you got them by the stacks and you plug them in listen to me, you better hear me. Your 2-, 3-, 4-year-old is watching these themes and watching these, and you just think it's a cute little show, and they are teaching your kid that dad said no, don't go, but you go anyway because you followed your heart. And by the way, those people always live happily ever after in animation. Animation's not real life. Life's not a 2-hour movie. But they become, listen, we've got a bunch of animated shows that we're plugging in and they're growing up watching Disney, and then we wonder why half the teenagers walk around here thinking, well, you just got to follow your heart, and you know, your parents aren't going to understand, they're not going to get it, but eventually they'll finally see the light when they figure out you're right and they're wrong. And they learn that from shows like Little Mermaid. I mean, that if you look at, just take your Take your stack out when you get home. Come on, parents. If you got toddlers, I want you to take your DVD, animated little cutesy shows, and look at them with fresh biblical eyes and say, am I preconditioning my child to rebel against my authority and fall for the lie of the devil? Because I keep, you know, instead of spending time with them, it's just easier to put something in and set them down there and let them watch it over and over again. Okay, you better think about it. I don't know what the one is now. I have no idea. You know, there's always, I see a lot of Frozen stuff. I've never seen Frozen. I have no idea what Frozen. Okay. I don't. Burn it? Burn Frozen? Burn it! And you know what? Maybe it's packed full of biblical principles. I don't know. I've never seen it. And if it is, hey, plug it in, let them watch it. But I'm going to tell you this: you better sit there and you better think. Oh, but they get the cute little characters and they got these little songs. And you better think of what it is teaching your kids. Okay, you better think about it. Better think about it. Okay, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Some of the stuff that Saturday morning cartoons, please, oh, please, please tell me you're not just setting your kids in front of a TV on Saturday morning. Somebody told me this, I don't remember who it was, but there's a commercial out right now, and it starts out with, they're going to somewhere in the public square or something, somewhere on the street, and they've got this big, gigantic X-ray machine, X-ray screen, and two people, all you can see is two people walk behind it and supposedly they're skeletons, okay? And then they kiss. And then they walk out and it's, you know, a guy and a girl. And then it happens again and it's a black guy and a white girl. And then it happens again and it's a whatever. And then it happens the last time and it walks out and it's two girls. And it says love, something about love sees, what is it? Love sees no boundaries or something like. And you know what? Watch this. This is what a parent told me. That commercial is being run Saturday mornings. Saturday mornings during cartoons. You don't think they're targeting? You don't think they're trying to brainwash the 2 and 3 and 4 year olds? You know, ask Sister Terry Reiser. Fifth grade girl follows her down to her classroom after she rides on a bus, follows her down to her classroom, stops her and says, you need to take me home right now. Somebody needs to take me home. I am not staying here. Well, why, honey? What's wrong? One of my friends just told me that you hate homosexuals and you preach against it, and I am not going to stay in a church. A fifth grader is demanding to go home because someone, when they got here, said we are preaching against homosexuality. How did a fifth grader get that brainwash and that adamant? I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you knew what was going on in the public schools. Now listen, hey, you know what? I am not the authority in your home. I know where my authority boundaries lie. I know what I'm going to answer for and about, but you better know what you're going to answer for and about. And I'm telling you, folks, please listen to me. You put your kids in public school, you need to have your head examined. They're not asking your permission of what they're going to teach your kids. They don't send a slip home anymore. It's a systematic brainwashing from kindergarten on. Okay? It's systematic brainwashing. Now, stay with me. Hey, by the way, we've preached that since 1978 when we opened a Christian school. I think we'll preach it another 20, 30 years. Amen. There's a reason we started, Christian schools had to come out. Listen, Christian schools, Christians didn't leave the public school. Public schools left the Christians. I mean, they're the ones that come out and said, no Bible, no prayer. Excuse me. You want my kid for 40 hours, 35, 40 hours a week, and you're not going to teach any biblical principles? You're not going to teach any Bible? You're not going to teach, they're not allowed to pray during that time? Hey, let me ask you something. Here you go. Does your kid's teacher go to church? Go to church. I didn't even ask you which church yet. I said go to church, period. And yet you're going to hand your kid over to them for 35, 40 hours a week to be a major influence in their life? Okay, are they married? Are they living with somebody? Check it out, by the way. You better check it out, by the way. Because you know what? Watch. Anything, any sin a person's involved with, they find a way and a platform to try to defend it and justify it. Okay? Okay? It's not a matter of an education. It's a matter of, folks, the people that are giving your kids that education, you better check it out. You better see what kind of influence they're having on your children. Because our young people are being systematically brainwashed from the moment you take them to preschool all the way through. We've got a generation. All right, little boy comes walking in with a shirt. He comes up and sits down here, and it says, "Real men wear pink." You've probably seen him wear that shirt here. He's a little boy, wears a shirt. And I look at him, and, you know, he's a little boy. So I'm trying not to be too tough on him. I say, "Listen, dude, seriously, you got to get a different shirt, man. Real men don't wear pink." A little girl sitting over here hears me and gets angry. Over here, Rita's class. Sister Rita, what grade? 4 and 5 year olds. Yes, they do. I mean, mad at me. Yes, they do. Don't tell him that. Pink's for boys just like it is girls. Now where did she, please tell me, where she got that at? Where's she getting that at? No, it really don't matter. I just want to make sure that they're in a position to get a good scholarship. Scholarship for what? So they can go to advanced heathen training? Love of money is the root of all evil. Come on now. All right. Help us. Help us. We got to wake up. Be true to yourself. You have to listen to your heart. I got to be true to myself, Dad. No, you don't. True to yourself, you gotta be true to God. You gotta be true to this book. You gotta listen to your heart. No, you don't. You listen to the scriptures. Your heart's deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? Your heart can feel this way one day and that way the next day. You don't listen to your heart. The Bible says if you listen to your heart, you're a fool. All right. Amen. Number 10, go ahead. There's no way you'll get caught. The strange woman in Proverbs 7. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. Here's the reasoning she gives. For the good man is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. By the way, he's taken a bag of money with him. He took a lot of money with him. That means he's going to be gone a while. And will come home at the day appointed. He even told me what day he's coming home. So in other words, what I'm telling you is there's no way we can get caught. We'll get away with this. That's what she was telling him. Now, watch this. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. Okay, so you're going to believe the enticer, you're going to believe the Bible. An enticer will always assure you that there is a way to sin and not get caught. But the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. There's no way to sin and get by with it. God simply refuses to be mocked. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For it's where a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life after lasting. Young people, listen to me. Don't follow the fools. Don't listen to stupid people. Don't listen to wicked people and evil people. Because they're sowing seeds one of these days that they're going to have to reap. Watch this. Sow to the Spirit. You know what you did this afternoon when you came and got on a bus and went over to Sanborn and knocked on doors and passed out gospel tracts? You sowed to the Spirit. And you're going to reap that. Okay? You're setting yourself up for an awfully good future. Okay? And young people want to go out and sow to the flesh. They are setting their self up for years of reaping corruption. Okay, so don't fall for this idea of you can sin and get away with it. I think one of the blessings of my life is it seems like every time as a young person I tried to do something wrong, I always got caught. And it used to frustrate me. I swear, I'm not sure my mom and dad didn't have some kind of a woo spooky thing going on with God, because I think God told them stuff before I even got home that I did. And you know what? I look back now and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Because you know what it taught me and reinforced Bible principles in my life? That, you know what? Stupid. If you do this, you know what? God's not going to let you get by with it. So pretty young age, you know what? I figured out sin has consequences. Sin is going to have a price tag. And you know what? You better consider the price tag of sin. Okay, now let me finish up. Let me have you go back to, and there's several places we could go, but I'm going to have you go back to one place, take the last 10 minutes, and I want to give you a three-step outline on how to properly respond to an enticer, okay? So let's go back to Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13, and this is where we looked at the Old Testament law, where God gave as part of the law instruction on how to deal and respond properly and biblically to an enticer. Deuteronomy chapter number 13. And verse number 6. Deuteronomy 13, 6. Is that right? All right. Deuteronomy 13, 6. Are you there? If thy brother, the son, we read this early on in our study, but let's review. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thy own soul, entice thee secretly. So we told us, hey, you got to be careful. You know what? An enticer can come from sometimes, sadly, the most unlikely places. We said that enticement happens secretly. This is where we got that principle. Okay, so they're going to entice you secretly. Again, saying, isn't that good? Because they're going to tell you, hey, this is what they're going to say. The Bible tells you, this is what they're going to say. And then when they say it, we don't hear it. All right, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. Now watch this, folks. Here's the biblical principle. Thou shalt not consent unto him. Number one, say no loud and clear. Say no loud and clear. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Consent thou not. Say no. And by the way, they're usually trying to get you off the side and they're kind of whispering. So when you say no, say it like real loud. Okay, they got you over in the back corner of the foyer and they're saying, hey, you know what? I was thinking of no! And everybody in there will look and, that, and look at the enticer will freak out. Because they don't want any attention. They want to do this subvertly. No! No! Just do it that loud. In fact, next time I'm in a conversation back in the foyer with Tom Walton, I'm just going to go, no! Everybody will look over and go, Brother Walton's trying to corrupt our preachers. This is really going to turn on me, you know. I know. Every time I talk to somebody, someone's going, no! I'm like, stop. I wasn't doing anything. Oh. Good night. I was just trying to get him to tithe. I mean it. Young person, listen to me. Don't kind of go, well, you know, I don't know, my mom, you know how they... No, you know what you're doing? You're tap dancing. Come on, you gutless wonder. Stop blaming you. Well, my dad's getting, you know, he went under my mom, you know how strict she... Stop hiding behind mom and dad. Be a man, be a woman. Stand up. No, no, I don't do that. No, I don't do that. No, no, no. And you're going to see what they're just going to kind of crawl off. That's good practice, amen. All right, everybody together, 1, 2, 3. No! Get it? Hey, you say, preacher, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. Go home, lock yourself in the bathroom, stand in front of the mirror, and just practice. No. No! I can do this. No! Just say, you know. Say no. Amen. You know what the word's going to get around? Don't even bother with her. Don't even bother with him. He just shuts you down. Amen. You know how to eliminate a lot of temptation in your life? By responding properly to it. Because pretty soon, enticers don't come around Jerry Ross. Because you know what? They don't want to have that conversation. He's crazy, man. Number two. Then, after you say no, say it loud and clear. Number two. Watch this. Let's go back to the verse. I want you to see it's coming from the scriptures here. All right, verse number 8, thou shalt not consent unto him. That means say no. Nor hearken unto him. By the way, hearken unto him means to sit there and continue to listen to him. So say no loud and clear. Number 2, get immediately away from the enticer. Conversation's over. And, hey, you know what? We're going to be going into this. No! No! Gone. By the way, that's what Joseph did. So he ended up in prison. He also ended up as second command of Egypt. Yeah, I just trust in doing right. Short-term consequences. Don't ever examine the success or failure by short-term consequences. You better look on long-term consequences. Yeah, but you know what? I'm not going to be considered real cool when I'm like 15, preacher. Yeah, but how are you going to be doing when you're 25 and 35 and 45? You better look at long-term consequences, not short-term consequences. So you say no, and then you get away from them. Okay, say no, and then you get away from them. And your enticer around here, what I'm training the kids to do is tell you no and get away from you. So don't you go home and whine to mommy or daddy about how nobody will be your friend. There's a reason. They're following the Bible. I can't stand it when an enticer wants to become a martyr. Now, wait a minute. You're not done, though. Proverbs 29 or Genesis 39:12. Get away from the enticer. She caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her head and fled and got out. Get out of there. Flee also youthful lusts. So you get away from it. Okay? Number 3, let's keep reading. Watch this. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him. Watch this. Neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou, what's the next 2 words? You don't feel sorry for him. Well, or her, you know, well, you know what? I think they were trying to get me to do wrong, but I said no. I got away from them. But you know what? I'm not going to be the bad guy. No, you know, if you conceal them, you're disobeying the Bible. So step number 3 is what? Expose the enticer to someone in authority. So somebody comes to you and they start whispering, hey, you know what? Some of us are going to go out and we're going to sneak over and watch a movie in tarot. No! Mom, Dad, come here. See that guy? By the way, this is how you end it. This is how you end it in a church like Blessed Lord. This is how you end it. This is how it stops you. Hey, young people, what kind of a youth group do you want to have? How many miracles do you want to see? How high do you want to go? Are you concealing enticers? Well, preacher, I told them, no, I didn't ask you. I said, are you concealing them? But I don't even hang around. I said, are you concealing them? Because you're sinning just as much by concealing them as you are by not saying no to them. You either go all the way with this or you know, do it all. This is how you close it down. Amen. Now, watch this. Stay with me. This is often one of the hardest things for a teenager to do. We must teach our teens, our young people, and by the way, young adults, it's hard sometimes for you to do too. To conceal an enticer is to allow him to continue to operate. Even if you're strong enough and wise enough not to fall for the tricks of an enticer, if you leave them concealed, they'll find somebody else. And when they destroy that person's blood's on your hand. You see, folks, watch this. An enticer counts on being able to operate in secret. He also tries to create, now listen to what I'm going to say here. It's so important. He tries to create an environment where reporting him or her would be considered a grievous sin. Okay? In every generation, young people have been programmed by weak, wicked peers not to tell. Now, I want you parents to listen to what I'm going to say because I'm going to blow some things up right here. In childhood, a young person who reports wrong to authority is called a tattletale. And even some of you parents will look and say, now stop tattling. What did you just teach your kid? Well, I don't want you to be a tattletale. You already started the process. If somebody is doing wrong and trying to get your child to go wrong, and they come over and tell you, now just go play nice, go back to the enticer and play nice and stop telling me. Are you serious? Now, let me just balance that out. Sometimes a kid is just a... You know what? Okay, the kid got the ball and they wanted to play with that ball and they didn't get it first, so they go over and tattle on somebody. Okay, If you're interpreting it like that, where your kid is just constantly making up things, then what? You don't tell them not to tattle. You tell them stop lying. Okay, I'm trying to give a balance here. But, you know, I've seen it happen in our Christian school. A kid that finally does have the guts to stand up and go to see an authority figure, say, well, you know what, we all just got to learn to get along, and just push them right back to the entire... No, we don't. What do you mean get along? Where does it say that we're supposed to get along with an enticer? Please, open your King James Bible and educate me. Where does it say we're supposed to harbor a scorner? Why sometimes... Listen to me, young people, because I'm telling you this, man. I have done this my whole life. I mean, a good part of my life. I was working with teens when I was a teenager. And I'm going to tell you something. You get this into the mindset into a group of young people, it's like a cancer. You know what I'm doing? I'm doing cancer surgery right now. I'm going to try to cut it out of your thinking. Because it is not just, you have not finished by saying no to that person and getting away from that person. You have not finished till you have gone to the authority figure and reported them. I don't care if you're at school, you go to the school authority figure. If you're at home, you go to the home school authority. If you're at school, you go to the school authority figure. Then go home and go to the home authority figure. Mom and dad ought to know everything. Okay, let me tell you about this little girl right here, okay? How in the world does Heather grow up in a public school situation and come out to be such a good kid and now being used and blessed by... I'm going to tell you, I figured it out. And I figured it out on a hospital visit. And you were in the hospital at Sullivan. And I don't even know what you're in there for. Something about brain scan. She went to the hospital. So I went to visit her. And she's in the hospital and her mom's with her. And this is back when she was a teenage girl. Okay, living at home. And I'm sitting there in the hospital. I'm just talking to her, visiting how things going. You know, what's the doctor say, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to have prayer with you. And I watch her and her mom. And I just love watching them talk. And man, they got this unbelievably transparent, sweet relationship. And I'm just watching this. And I'm like, your mom and you, I wish I could capture this. This is great. You guys got a great relationship. This is what this little teenage girl says to me. She said, Pastor, my mom's my best friend. She said, my mom's my best friend. She said, there's nothing happens in my life that my mom don't know about. Okay, I wish we could have got her into Christian school. It didn't work out. Seems to be doing pretty good. I'm not saying that it wouldn't have been better if she could have gotten to Christian school. You know what saved her in the Christian school or in the public school? My mom's my best friend. There's nothing that happens in my life that she don't know about. Hey, has the devil destroyed that? Has he stolen that from you guys? Are you serious? Oh, well, my mom's not a great Christian. Okay, her mom, well, I loved her mom. But she wasn't a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night Christian. But she was her mom. And nobody's going to look out for her interests like her mom. Now listen to me. I'm all of you, all right? Okay? If the devil's driving a wedge between you and your mom and dad, you don't know how much trouble you're in. You don't even know how much trouble you're in. Well, I can't talk to my mom about it. Who told you that? Probably an enticer told you that. Somebody brainwashed you, because yes, you can. You got anything going on in your life over here mom and dad don't know about? You don't know how much trouble you're in. Okay? You know the young people's going to do all right? Mom's my best friend. I can go talk to my dad about anything. You know what? I can go sit in the preacher's office and I can, you know what? I can share with him about anything. I want him to know what's going on in my life. Those kids get to the finish line, they're fine. They make it. And what I'm saying is this, watch young people, watch this. Whoever's telling you that it's wrong, you know, I started saying this the other night, watch this. 1950s, you were a stooge. Okay, we tell little kids they're tattletales, and then the 50s, if you told an authority, told on somebody, you were a stooge. In the 1960s, you were a fink. In the 1970s, you were a rat. In the 1980s, you were a narc. 90s and 2000s, I've been so busy, I don't really know what they're calling them anymore. But I promise you this, there's a derogatory term. Right now in the public school, there's a derogatory term for somebody that goes to an authority figure and tells them the nonsense that's going on under the surface. You want to get beat up in the public school parking lot? How do you get beat up in the public school parking lot? Tell on somebody. I mean, it's like this. They've created this environment in our culture that even if somebody's doing wicked, all right, you don't necessarily have to participate in it, and we might let you get by with that, but you will not go tell somebody. Wait a minute, folks. Okay, I can't stop that. I can't stop what the world's doing, but that shouldn't be here. That shouldn't be amongst Christians. And so the Bible goes on to say there, you know what? Listen to me. You don't pity them. Well, I just felt sorry for him. I didn't want to get him in trouble. What? Pity the next victim. Don't pity him. Pity the next victim. Okay? Neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. Now, what about verse 9? Okay, preacher, you're going to stop reading, aren't you? Old Testament law. Now, just stay with me here. God had one opportunity. He took one opportunity. One time and one time only did God reach down, select a man, and from that man choose a people unto himself. Separate them from the world onto their own, write with his own finger laws for those people and hand it to them. He only did that once. You can say all you want to about throwing rocks about the law. I'm telling you, God one time took a group of people, pulled them away from the world out of Egypt, and said, I'm going to write a book of laws and commands that you need to obey, and if you will, you will be supremely protected. What's verse 9 says? The first phrase in verse 9, startling. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people, and thou shalt stone him with stones that he die. Now, preacher, what are you teaching next? That we ought to kill? Listen, what I'm saying is this. God saw this as so dangerous that when he had the say of what the law would be amongst the children of Israel, he said, you don't just say no. You don't just get away from. You don't just report them to authority. You stand as witness against them at their own death sentencing. You're the first one to put your hand upon them. Now, what I'm saying is this. By the way, I know some of you are in a state of shock, but I want to just challenge you to do something. Watch this. You study the Old Testament law and you write down the 10 death penalty sins. There's 10 of them. Okay? There's 10 of them. Then I want you to imagine if this society was matching what the Old Testament law was. Now, the media has already brainwashed so many of you. Some of you think I'm a psycho right now because you've been brainwashed. What our culture deems as a death penalty offense and what God does is two different arenas right now. It's not just the enticer. Doesn't it say something about if a child's rebellious? I'm not talking about a kid has a bad day. I'm not kidding. A kid goes through a funk. I've had them and this hadn't happened in recent years. This is back when I first, way back. And it happened on fringe families, not core families. But I mean, I've had kids, and I've had the parents in my office saying, they tell me that if I do not let them do whatever they want to do, they will call the authorities and lie about the fact that they are being molested by us. Now, you're in my seat, and you got a parent sitting there, and they are trying to get a kid to do right, and this kid is so full of the devil and so full of wickedness and so full of rebellion and so determined that I am going to dictate what happens in this house. You're not going to. Buddy, that's straight out of the pit of hell. You know what the Bible says? Old Testament law says that it's supposed to happen to that rebellious child. Parents are supposed to say, fine, and get a hold of him and drag him out before the people. So this is a rebellious and a stubborn child. And they're supposed to stone him with stones till he dies. You know what parents are doing now? They're surrendering to that nonsense. You know what God says that young person is worthy of? Death. You say, well, people can't do that nowadays. They can't do that. Mom and dad can't do that. God can. Go ahead, punk. Go ahead. Stick your finger in your mom's face. You decide you're going to dictate. Go ahead. Just publicly rebel. Go ahead. I told you folks the other night, I've got a sermon I'm preparing for you. Now, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to rework your thinking. Okay? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the culture is giving your mind a bunch of junk and anti-Bible stuff, and your preacher appears trying to renew your thinking so you're not conformed to the world, but you're transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Okay? Now, folks, I know I've gone a long way here, but I want you to see how serious this is. This isn't a joke. In God's eyes, it's not a joke that we ought to tolerate at Blessed Hope Baptist Church some little heathens walking around that's full, they think there's their full-time job to try to entice other young people into wickedness and sin and backsliding and rebellion against their parents. And I'm a bad person for standing up and saying, you're not doing that here. Now, young people, listen to me. You're the only ones that can really stop this. You better look at this preacher. You're the only ones. You conceal that nonsense and you let that go on and you play with fire and you tolerate it and, well, you know what, I'm just trying to help them, blah, 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 blah. And you don't follow the Bible principles, then there will always be at Blessed Hope Baptist Church an allowance, a comfort zone for enticers. Okay, now, I've talked a lot to the teenagers, but wives, you better listen to what I'm saying. Husbands, you better listen to what I'm saying. Okay? That's why I said every relationship that's proper and right in a family ought to be a completely transparent relationship where, you know what, and by the way, parents, if your kids come to you with some stuff, listen, you've got to react properly. Well, my kids need to come to me. Well, I want you to really stop and ask yourself this. Why won't they? Okay? You can't flip out. You can't go crazy. You can't, you know what? They ought to feel like that they can come and sit down and talk to you and that you'll handle it sanely and biblically and correctly. Okay? And that you've got their back. Okay? You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. That's fine if it's some person. This is the end of it here. But what didn't you tell me that sometimes the enticer is demonic? Sometimes the enticer is the devil? What about that? Same formula. You say no loud and clear. That's what Jesus said. Get behind me, Satan. He verbalized it. He verbally rebuked Satan. In the name of Jesus, verbally rebuke him. It's proper. It's powerful when you're tempted. Then get away from him. All right, get away from the situation. Satan comes to us in secret or in a situation of increased temptation. Change locations. Get away from whatever's tempting you. Get to a stronger Christian. Call somebody and talk to them. Watch this. Report him to an authority figure. Well, who do I report him to? Oh, I know somebody that has authority. You go right to God and say, God, that stinking devil's messing with me. And Lord, I want to obey the Bible. I've said no, and I've tried to get away from the situation, but now I'm telling you, on the devil, I'm telling you, Lord, I got to have your help here. And the same formula works. Well, we've gone over a little bit. But boy, I'll tell you what you got is not only absolutely 100% biblical, but it's got the potential to not only save your life, but save a whole generation of Christians here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Bible examples. the catchphrases that we can begin to listen for. And Lord, be wiser so that we can know biblically, understand biblically, be able to biblically identify those that would be used as enticers in our life. Then, Lord, I pray, dear God, we'd learn to respond properly. Oh, my goodness sakes, I feel like that our young people sometimes are just living their lives walking through a minefield. And boy, the devil's good at what he's done for years. And boy, it takes a wise teenager. It takes a wise young person. May they maneuver and negotiate the minefield of the world, of this world, with all of the temptations, all that the devil's laid for them, all the snares of Satan. Lord, may they take the biblical principles here and put them into their lives so that they can do right, live right, be right, end up right. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.